Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Way early this morning, Brad Higdon shared a major spoiler alert from everyone's favorite hit show, sad emojis to express his feelings about the plot twist, and a playlist he made to drown out his sorrows? Dude, oversharing alert. Brad, Geico has something worth sharing with those who haven't defriended you. Like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance at geico.com. So stop moping about the post-apocalyptic world and start saving in the real world. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is Chi-Town Chatter with Matt Peck.
Jordan to drive. Hang. Fire. Hit. He scores. The Bulls lead 87-86.
Lowe's trying to get open. Fires away. Fire. It's over. The Bulls win at the buzzer.
I live the way I live. I eat the things I eat.
Jay Cutler is finally starting to exorcise some of the demons of his past. Donald Trump wants to build a wall, everybody. Maybe he can just make one out of Corey Crawford.
That doesn't make sense.
I swear I've seen a lot of stuff in my life, but that was awesome.
And Schwarber sends one high and deep, way back, and this ball is long gone.
For the third time in 6 years, the Wisconsin Stanley Cup
What's up? Welcome in to another edition of Chi-Town Chatter with Matt Peck on Blog Talk Radio. Happy to have you with me tonight. You can also follow me on Twitter at MMP underscore DA. That's MMP underscore DAAA. Like and follow the Facebook page, Chi-Town Chatter with Matt Peck. For pictures, follow on Instagram at Chi-Town Chatter. Subscribe to my YouTube channel for all of my videos in the world of sports and for all of my previous podcasts and content. Check out my website, www.chitownchatter.com. Chi-Town Chatter is brought to you by Binny's Beverage Depot. Remember, if you can't find it at Binny's, it's probably not worth drinking. Well, happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend, despite some of that nasty early spring weather here in Chicago. We have finally arrived in May. Hopefully, it is time for some sunshine. Shocking news has become official earlier today across the pond. Leicester City has won the English Premier League. As Tottenham drew with Chelsea 2-2 earlier today, ensuring that Leicester would finish at the top of the table. Leicester had a 5,000-1 odds to win the whole thing at the beginning of this season. If any of their fans put some big money on that, well, they are very happy and very rich today. Congrats to Leicester City. What an incredible run this season for them. The Cubbies are in action tonight. First game of a series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. First time at PNC Park since that 4-0 wild card victory last fall. It's Jason Hamill against Gerrit Cole on the mound. We are currently in the middle of the third inning. Andrew McCutchen started off the scoring in the first with a solo home run. But the Cubbies got an RBI double and an RBI single from Anthony Rizzo and Ben Zobrist, respectively, in the third 2-1 lead to the bottom of the inning. And the NFL draft has come and gone, which means we have to break it all down. I've got my take on the Bears' picks in each round and how they can make an impact on the Bears' 2016 season. Plus, I'll welcome in a special guest to the show a bit later on to discuss the draft picks of the Bears' NFC North opponents. Brace yourselves. He's a Packers fan. Open phone line, 347-327-9183. We might as well start from the top and work our way down. The Bears had the number 11 overall pick in the draft, first round, and many people were suggesting the biggest need was some pass rushing on the edge, an outside linebacker, a defensive end. Last minute, the Bears trade up two spots from 11 to number 9 to select outside linebacker Leonard Floyd from Georgia. GM Ryan Pace had his explanation for what he loved about their pick.
We said all along we wanted to improve the athleticism and speed on our defense, and we've definitely done that with Leonard Floyd. This guy lines up all over the field for Georgia. We see him as an outside linebacker in our defense. Just brings great athleticism for a guy that tall with that kind of length. Brings some juice to our defense that we need, and will definitely help our pass rush. You know, John always says this, we can get them stronger, we can get them bigger, but we can't get them faster or more athletic.
Can't get them faster or more athletic, and that is exactly what Pace and John Fox liked about Leonard Floyd. That is why they traded up a couple of spots to get him, and he is an absolute freak of nature. If you talk about his frame, he's 6'6" with incredibly long arms and speed to match. The question for him, well, we'll get to that. John Fox talked about what the Bears needed most and how Floyd fills that need.
We saw a struggle, particularly early in the season a year ago. The speed, we've been trying to increase our team speed. We did it even, on the first claiming deadline, to start the season. I think, it took us a while to train guys, but, we got better as the year went on, and I think we'll get that much better this year.
That's Bears head coach John Fox. The need for speed, the thing that this Bears defense was really lacking last year. Pernell McPhee was a great addition in free agency at that outside linebacker spot, but he's more of a power guy, not exactly the quickest. That is what Floyd offers. And Leonard Floyd believes that he is a great fit for the Chicago Bears.
They told me it was the Bears, and I quickly jumped up because the Bears is one of my favorite teams. They always showed me the most love during this whole process. So I felt like it was a dream come true being drafted by the Bears. I definitely wanted to be on the right team with the right scheme. And obviously with the Bears running 3-4, it's the perfect fit for me because I've been running 3-4 my whole college career. So it was a great fit coming here.
A great fit for Floyd and the Bears. Now, some fans and some members of the media, some analysts who were at the draft this weekend, were skeptical of the Bears taking him at number 9 overall because of the weak stats, not necessarily jumping off the page at you. He only had 4.5 sacks last season, but others brought up the point that because he was playing all over the place. He is a natural fitted outside linebacker. That's where Ryan Pace and John Fox see him playing for the Bears. He also spent some time at inside linebacker. He also dropped back into coverage quite a bit. So it's not all about the sacks, and that's something that Leonard Floyd discussed.
I never really bought into the numbers. I always thought about winning. I basically told the coaches I'll do whatever they want me to, which is I'm going to be the same way for the Bears. I'm going to do whatever they want me to. I just wanted to play football. It didn't really matter about if I made a lot of sacks. I just wanted to play.
Encouraging words there from the Bears' first-round draft pick, Leonard Floyd, who said he didn't really care about the stats and he was willing to play wherever his coaches asked him to play. And he did just that. So, sure, only 4.5 sacks, but if the Bears mold him and develop him into being exclusively an outside linebacker and using his speed, you can bet that his sack numbers will grow and grow and grow. Because as Fox and Pace both said, he has the speed and athleticism. They just need to add to it. Speaking of adding to it, the biggest concern, more so than his pedestrian stat lines from college at Georgia, is the fact that he is too skinny for his 6'6 frame. And he absolutely must put on some weight.
Now come here, my fat concubine.
Hey, I'm not even hungry.
I want you bigger. I want you fatter. It will please me.
Floyd weighed in at 244 at the NFL Combine and is expected to try to add to that weight. He was asked what he thought his comfortable weight would be playing in the NFL, and he said somewhere around 255. So put on 10 pounds. You got a couple of months before training camp. Hit the weight room. Do what you got to do. It was actually great when Floyd came to the Comcast Sportsnet studios for one of his many introductory interviews to meet the media and meet the fans of Chicago. he was sitting there in a chair in the studio, and one of the PAs came and just dropped a Lou Malnati's deep dish right in his lap while he was being interviewed. And he just started going to town on it, gave a thumbs up of approval while he was chomping down on the deep dish. Clearly, that is something that he needs to do more of. Eat your deep dish. Eat all of your Chicago foods. Bears fans should take it upon themselves to make sure he is familiar with the food pyramid.
It's essential to the well-being of the superfan to consume all the components of the food pyramid.
That's not the food pyramid.
Listen and learn. Okay, at the bottom of the pyramid, you got your linked meats, okay? Your brats, your Polish, your hot dogs. Provides a good base. Then you got ground beef, Italian beef, sliced pork.
Your sandwich meats.
Yeah.
Then you move on to the healthier stuff. Your salads, potato, macaroni, because your body needs mayonnaise.
Don't forget that. Next, you got your veggies on top there. Curly fries, chips, etc. And on top, the pork chop.
The apex of the food pyramid.
All you got to do now is drop the whole thing in a deep fryer. Because your body needs mayonnaise. Oh, gosh. That one gets me every time. Well, so Leonard Floyd's got bulk up a bit. As I said, ideal playing weight, 255 in the NFL. He can hit the gym. He can eat all of his various Chicago foods that are high in those calories. Plenty of protein. But really, this pick was all about the speed edge rushing that he brings to a Bears defense that desperately needed it. I mentioned Pernell McPhee, Lamar Houston, Willie Young, some of the other guys who were rushing from the outside last season. A little bit older, not so much with the speed anymore. I love this pick. Some Bears fans were boo-hooing it. Some didn't love the fact that we traded up only two spots to grab him and they weren't convinced that it was a pick worth taking at the number nine spot. But Ryan Pace made up for, and more so, the fact that he gave up a fourth-round pick to trade up those two spots to ensure that they took Floyd. Because the New York Giants, at least the Bears, were afraid that the New York Giants were interested in taking him one spot ahead. So they made sure they got their guy. And as I said, and we'll come back to it, giving up that fourth-round pick to get him, not a big deal in the end. Look, he is a project. He needs some coaching. There were more NFL-ready players that were available with that pick at 9, certainly still would have been at 11, that Ryan Pace could have easily taken. The huge ceiling for Leonard Floyd, this kid with an incredible speed and 6'6" frame, you can't pass that up. So that was the first round. That was Friday night. Thursday night. And Friday night was way more mysterious for the Bears fans that were packed into the draft, ready and waiting for the Bears to make their pick. And they had to wait, and they had to wait some more. As twice, Ryan Pace traded down from the 41st pick to the 49th, from the 49th to the 56th. And as Bears fans watched as defensive end and defensive tackle, all of these front seven players that the Bears could use were flying off the board from 41 to 56. Everybody's wondering what is Ryan Pace doing and why?
Why would they do this?
The Bears finally end up taking guard Cody Whitehair from Kansas State with the 56th overall pick. And Whitehair was an unexpected, a bit of a surprise to Bears fans and the media, assuming the Bears would go defense again with the second-round pick. But he was picked by many analysts, by many of the pros, to be the best available guard in the entire draft. Incredible that he was still there at 56, and incredible value at that spot. And on top of the value of getting him where they got him, 56 was a steal for Whitehair, Ryan Pace was able to add three more fourth-round picks. Two for this draft and one in 2017. So he got back the fourth round pick he lost to get Leonard Floyd, and he gained two more on top of that. As John Fox has been saying since day one in Chicago, football is all about running the ball and stopping the run. Run the ball. Bears running game could be dangerous next year. Matt Forte departing is a huge loss, perhaps more so emotionally for Bears fans than the product on the field. And I don't get me wrong, I am not undervaluing Matt Forte. I was one of many who were hoping the Bears would at least try to re-sign him to a short-term veteran contract. I'm sad he's gone, but the past is the past. The Bears' running game, even without Forte, can be very dangerous, and they added another present for Jay Cutler, protecting him on the offensive line. Whitehair can play left tackle. He can play left guard. He said he did play a little bit of center. He's taken a few snaps there in case of emergency. In an ensuing action yesterday, the Bears released guard Matt Slauson from the team. So we could be looking at Whitehair competing for a starting job on the offensive line in training camp. Remember, the Bears also picked up free agent Ted Larson, who could play at left guard as well. Competition at that spot. Competition on the left side of the line. Left tackle Charles Leno, Pace and Fox both said at the end of the season they were really high on him, but Whitehair comes in and presents competition for him at that spot as well. And the Bears' young offensive line gets another young building block. The team gets younger. And about that whole running the ball and stopping the run thing, well, with their third round draft pick, the Bears addressed the latter, stopping the run, taking defensive end Jonathan Bullard with the 72nd overall pick. Bullard from Florida may have been the Bears' biggest steal in this entire draft when it comes to value and where they took him. An absolute monster, 6'3", 285 pounds, a great combination of power and quickness. Don't know if you watched the highlights, if you were watching the draft this weekend. If you haven't watched all of Jonathan Bullard's highlights on YouTube, do yourself a favor and watch them. The guy is a machine. Incredibly high motor, and he balances that with really strong vision. The Bears needed talent at the defensive end position. They added Akeem Hicks in free agency. That should be a big help. Mitch Unrein played some decent snaps there last year. And then, of course, the two veterans who I already mentioned, Lamar Houston and Willie Young. Either of them can kind of line up as defensive end or outside linebacker, depending on the package the Bears are running. But both are getting older. Both were rumored to have been being shopped by the Bears while this draft was happening. In free agency, again, trying to get younger. So adding a young, talented defensive end in the third round, another great, strong move for Ryan Pace. I mentioned Bullard's vision, 17 and a half tackles for a loss, and he combined that with no broken or missed tackles last season, not a single one. The dude finds the ball carrier, he wraps him up, he brings him down. His highlights are incredible and prove exactly that. Check him out. And for a Bears team that was still fairly dreadful against the running game last year, that's a huge pickup. Moving on to the fourth round, the Bears were busy. Lots going on. They had three picks. One came from Buffalo in their trade. Another came from Seattle. They traded up four spots with the first of their three picks in the fourth round to take West Virginia inside linebacker Nick Kwiatkowski. 6'2", 243 pounds, like Jonathan Bullard, great vision and sound tackling. He actually was converted to inside linebacker from safety earlier in his career, so the dude is great in coverage. And when it came to identifying the style or characteristic that really personified who Kwiatkowski is as a football player, as a linebacker, well, Ryan Pace brought up something that John Fox said he wanted last season.
Throughout the season and go, hey, I want throwback players. And he definitely fits that mode. What I like most about him, I think the number one trait when you're looking for a linebacker is instincts, because you can't coach that, you know. And so he just reacts so quick, and he attacks downhill. So he's making tackles near the line of scrimmage. And I think instincts transfer to whatever level you're playing at.
Ryan Pace talking about Nick Kwiatkowski's instincts. The fact that John Fox wanted throwback players, old school football players. And apparently, the product from West Virginia is exactly that. hard worker, apparently loves the weight room, loves to hit people. His coach, people that scouted him regularly, were all talking about his love of the game of football and the physical aspect of it. The guy doesn't shy away from contact. He runs toward contact. Mean, nasty linebackers that the Bears have a history of drafting over the years. The old school, the throwback factor, that's what John Fox is looking for. That's what Ryan Pace thinks he found with Kwiatkowski.
See that? That's the way to do it. That's old school.
Yeah?
Old school like the old school.
Old school linebacker. A high ceiling pick yet again. We'll take some work. We'll take some molding, some coaching, but a high ceiling. And then for the second and third picks of the fourth round, Ryan Pace turned to the Bears' secondary, taking Deion Bush, safety from Miami. It's all about the U. Bush, 6 foot, 200 pounds, and a very big hitter. The guy's highlights, like Bullard, or some of them will take your breath away, laying big hits on people, attacks the ball from the secondary. He's comfortable in zone coverage underneath. He can be effective in some certain blitz packages the Bears run if they want to bring a safety off the edge in the blitz game. His versatility, his capability, it's great. Special teams, he's going to be a big player there as well. And then three picks later, DeAndre Hall, a cornerback and safety hybrid from Northern Iowa, 6'2", 200. The great thing about him is his length, 34 3/8 inches arm length. Those are longer than Kyle Long's arms, people. Insane length, which makes him great for the 50-50 balls. He had 6 interceptions this past season. Great for stuffing blockers, great for tackling in run support. And just like Deion Bush, a very versatile player. Can play in the safety slot as well. So all of these fourth-round guys, and also Whitehair in the second round, Bullard in the third round, Ryan Pace talked about how they are looking for some of those things that you can't coach when they're drafting deeper into the later rounds.
These guys, I would say, is toughness and instincts. It's something we've emphasized, and it's something we drafted today for sure. Some of these guys are 3-4-year starters. I think it talks about the caliber of players that they are. A lot of these guys are team captains. You know, we talk about that. But really, it's just individual tape and just, hey, who are the best guys and just looking at the talent. But, hey, the fact that these guys are multi-year starters and team captains, a lot of these guys, that was significant.
Team captains, multi-year starters, guys with instincts. These are the things that Ryan Pace is looking for. Let's go to the phone lines. You're on the air with Chi-Town Chatter. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's going on? This is Bryce calling from Brooklyn. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you? What's on your mind, Bryce?
Doing good. So, you know, I just, as a football fan and a fan of the NFL, you know, the Bears are just, they're such an interesting team to me because it seems to me that over the years they've kind of gotten away from what the bread and butter of the Bears should be, which is 2 to 3 really good running backs, an extremely physical offense, a defense that's going to keep you in 20 to 22 points, and a team that can grind out wins by 3 points or 5 points. And I think if you get back to that style, particularly with the draft that you had, it seems like they're trying to move to that style. I think getting back there on a consistent basis, you can actually have a team where Jay Cutler can succeed. If he can throw it, you know, 18 to 22 times a game consistently, I think that's kind of the number. I mean, I know that's not the way of the NFL now, but I think if they go back to that and continue to just stick with that formula, you know, Chicago has a chance to really contend in that division. It's just my thoughts. What do you think?
I like what you're thinking here, Bryce. When you mentioned the effectiveness of running the ball and taking some of the responsibility away from Jay Cutler, I agree. I feel like that's exactly what the Bears should be trying to do. And with that thought, what did you think about the team taking the Indiana running back Jordan Howard in the fifth round? Do you think that's a great value there?
I think it's good value there. You know, I was one of the guys, and I don't know what you think about this. You know, I think with that style in mind, you don't let Matt Forte go. I think if you had the fifth-round pick now, if you had Langford, if you had Forte, that really sets you up build that offensive line, continue to do that. Now that sets you up to give your backs 30 to 35 carries a game. And I think that's where Jay Cutler, that's the sweet spot where he can succeed. So I like the value, but honestly, I really like Matt Forte. I love that guy. I think he's a good football player. I think to be physical and to protect Jay Cutler, you need as many good backs as you can. I would have kept him.
You're not alone in those thoughts, Bryce. I was voicing my opinion that I was hoping that they would at least try to sit down at the negotiating table, but it sounded like it was made very clear to Matt Forte as soon as possible by the Bears front office, we won't be signing you. Best of luck. Consider yourself a free agent.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was because he was 30, or maybe they just thought the price tag was too much. But I think when you have a quarterback like Jay Cutler, Matt Forte fits that team so well. And it didn't seem like he was slowing down too much because he's such a versatile back. He knows how to run. He knows how to run routes. He can block. So I think those type of backs, even at 30, he can play until he's 32, maybe until 33, where Langford takes over and then the fifth-round pick does some stuff. So
yeah,
I would have kept
that's
him
a really,
because you need
it's a really bothersome part about the NFL, the definition of a running back and how when they hit 30 years old, they hit a wall. That's what everybody says. But, I mean, look at some of the most productive running backs in the league. Last year, Adrian Peterson had an incredible year. Look at what D'Angelo Williams did for the Steelers filling in after Le'Veon Bell went down. It doesn't mean when you hit 30 that you are no longer a productive, valuable running back in the NFL. There are certain guys that break that mold, and I absolutely agree with you, Bryce. I think Matt Forte is one of them, and it really hurt to see him leave. At the same time, I cannot disagree too strongly with John Fox and Ryan Pace wanting to get this ball club younger, because in some of those worst years under Phil Emery and Mark Trestman, this was an old ball club, and they got run out. They outrun, out-hustled, out-everything by younger, better football teams.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, now that you got the fifth-round pick, do you think Langford is a featured guy that can carry it 20, 25 times a game?
I wouldn't know if I'd say featured. I liked what I saw from him when he subbed in for Forte for the few games he missed, and I liked Fox using him alongside Forte when both were on the field. But I don't think it's about him being a feature back needing that many carries a game because as we saw John Fox do in Carolina, as we saw him do in Denver, he likes to use multiple running backs. Even Kadeem Carey got a significant look last year and a number of carries, even goal line carries. So I think if he wants to take a three-headed attack approach in the running game with Langford and Carey and now Jordan Howard, the rookie, I would be happy to see all three get equal looks. And I don't know if I would necessarily put the burden on giving most of those looks to Jeremy Langford. I don't know if he has that kind of durability.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Bryce. Thanks for the call. Thanks for checking in. Have a good one. Interesting thoughts there from Bryce. And that's exactly what I was talking about with the Bears being a team that John Fox wants to run the run. Take some of that responsibility and pressure off of Jay Cutler, who had arguably his best season as a Bear last year, really minimizing those turnovers, using Forte and Langford in the running game, and he just got some more help. Whitehair, the offensive lineman, Jordan Howard, the Indiana product, joining fellow Big Ten alum Jeremy Langford in the backfield. I really like that Jordan Howard pick in the fifth round. I think that's great value. He's got great vision. He can see the running lanes, and he attacks them hard. At 6 foot, 230 pounds, he is big, muscular. He is a good complement, in my opinion, to Jeremy Langford, who's a bit smaller and uses speed, whereas Jordan Howard can be your goal-to-go guy, your third-and-one guy, which the Bears struggled with last year, converting on third and shorts, punching in 6 points in the red zone when you're in goal-to-go situations. Jordan Howard had incredible stats when it came to short yardage on first down, short yardage on touchdowns last year. Incredible. Incredibly sufficient and, efficient in that area. And I think that's a great add for the Bears offensively. It's a 1-2 punch of Big Ten running backs. How can you not love that?
What does that do? Does that blow your mind? That just happened.
just happened. The Bears now have two Big Ten running backs to play with next season. Power running, speed running. As I said, John Fox, running the ball, using multiple guys to get that job done. Howard, Steele in the fifth round. Then there was DeAndre Houston Carson in the sixth round, the free safety from William & Mary, 6'1", 200 pounds, who, by the way, I will now be referring to for the rest of his Bears career as DHC, or perhaps Run DHC. Yeah, that's his new nickname.
He's very vital. Two blocks around. That's right. On top. It's tricky.
He was a captain at William & Mary. He was a former cornerback that converted into a safety, so he's great in man coverage. He can deal with zone coverage. Great vision, great speed. Seven interceptions for DHC in his last two seasons at William & Mary. And some of the highlights on him as well. If you haven't watched him, go check it out. Incredible interceptions that are mind-boggling displays of both speed and reflexes.
I'll have you know I have the reflexes of a cat and the speed of a mongoose. Throw it. I dare ya.
He also could be a huge key contributor to special teams. He had 9 blocked kicks in his college career at William & Mary. 9. And why did he fall? Because he went to a small nobody school that nobody cared about. Incredible. He was projected to go in the fourth or fifth round. The Bears snagged him 10 picks into the sixth round. Another steal for Ryan Pace. And finally, to round it out, in the seventh round, the team added a little bit more punch to their offense. Interesting prospect, Daniel Braverman, the wide receiver from Western Michigan. 5'10", 177. A slot receiver who has the looks of a Wes Welker or Danny Amendola type. He's very quick out of his break points. He's very elusive once he has that ball with some really impressive yards after the catch. He also, check out his highlights, is really great in QB scramble situations. If Jay's pocket ever breaks down, the guy will get open. Give Jay a look. He can also make some plays out of the backfield. He can also return punts. Versatility, another one of the things that Pace and Fox were keying on in this draft. Braverman was projected, like DHC, to go in the fourth or fifth. The Bears stole him in the seventh. You got to give it up for the job that Ryan Pace did this weekend.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
Those are the Bears' 9 draft picks of 2016. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'll welcome in a special guest to talk about some of the other big picks for the other teams in the NFC North. You're listening to Chi-Town Chatter with Matt Peck on Blog Talk Radio. Stick around.
I'll be right back.
Don't you go dying on me.
It's 3 hours till dinner and I'm starving. So hungry I could eat a horse. Covered in milk, chocolate, peanuts, caramel, and nougat. Whoa, hold your horses. What I really need is a Snickers, packed to the max with peanuts and caramel. Snickers really satisfies.
25,000 mornings, give or take, is all we humans get. We spend them on treadmills, spend them in traffic. And if we get lucky, really lucky, it dawns on us to go spend them in a world where a simple sunrise can still be magic. 25,000 mornings. Make sure some of them are pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
Hey, it's me, water. Did you know that if you filter me from your tap, I'm pretty much the same as I am in a plastic bottle? Except that I'm 10 times cheaper. Other than that, I'm pretty similar. Oh, and I'm fresher when I'm filtered. And I don't need an expiration date. And I don't have to get shipped halfway around the world. But other than that, we're pretty much the same. Pure Water Filter. A better source.
¶¶
Welcome back to Chi-Town Chatter on Blog Talk Radio. Matt Peck here with you Monday evening, breaking down the NFL draft from this weekend. I'm now pleased to welcome to the show a Packers expert, a diehard sports fan, a guy who spends more time on Twitter than is healthy for the human brain and the human eyeballs, my good friend Mike Gonring. Mike, welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing tonight?
How you doing, man?
I'm great, buddy. Thanks for sharing some of your time with us. So let's dive right in and start.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's start with the Bears. I just broke down all the picks before the break. As an outsider, you look at what the Bears did in this draft. Does any of what the Bears did over the draft weekend strike fear in the hearts of Packers fans? Who do you think is the most intriguing pick? Who do you think can make the Bears better, more so than any other?
Well, I think the most intriguing pick has got to be Floyd. He's obviously super good athlete with a high upside. I know there's a lot of concern about maybe physically if he's not strong enough, or maybe as a run stopper or whatnot. But you always had such good linebackers in San Francisco, and this offseason you guys got Trevathan and Freeman, and then now adding Floyd sort of to that mix, I think is sort of the type of move, I guess, if any of them would strike fear. I think that's the type of thing that would eventually turn the Bears into what the Bears are. You know, what we sort of always know the Bears as, a team with a strong linebacking core and a strong defense overall.
Right, right. So if you were to make a guess now, given on the tape you've watched of Leonard and everything you've heard from both sides of the analysts who like to pick and don't like to pick, I feel like he is a great pick. I think it was worth it to trade up to get him. Are you thinking, he's more of a boom or bust guy?
No, I don't think he's quite so hit or miss. I do think there's a little bit of an upside downside factor to him, but no, I think he looks like a pretty dangerous player. I mean, I think he's definitely, I think, and you know, in the NFL, the passing game is so important, and you know, the best way to stop it is to have a guy who can really get off the edge, and he's got such a good first step. And no, I think he's going to be a solid pass rusher for the Bears for years.
Right on. Well, let's move to the green and gold. Let's look at what the Packers did. Now, the Packers are one of the most successful teams in the NFL when it comes to retaining their draft picks, re-signing them after their rookie deals, and really turning them into franchise players, something the Bears have struggled with mightily over the last decade or so. There's good talent, and there are smart choices when you think of Green Bay Packers and the draft. First round, you guys take Kenny Clark, the defensive tackle out of UCLA. Obviously, it was kind of a shock to people in Green Bay to hear the announcement that B.J. Raji was retiring. Do you see him as optimistically a replacement for Raji long term?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what they had to do. Obviously, I think front seven was an area we needed to really address anyway. Even before Raji retired. So I think once he retired, it sort of forced the hand, and I think that was something they did. You know, they always say, I always feel like good defense is you have to be strong in the middle. So I'm happy to even if we had Raji still, to build on the inside of the line like that.
Do you see what do you like about Clark as far as his attributes?
You know, I like a lot. I mean, he's quick and he moves pretty well on the inside. He's 315 pounds or something, but he doesn't really look like it. You know, he doesn't look like a big fat guy. He looks pretty agile and
like he's a big fat guy.
he kind of does, but he's only 20 years old.
That's a great upside to get somebody that young.
Yeah, he was a true junior at UCLA and was a team captain last year at 20. So, and he had 75 tackles and was second on the team in sacks. I mean, I think he's just it's a solid guy. I don't know. You know, the Packers move the guys the same as the Bears. You know, they move the linemen around a lot. So
Right.
I think he'll play inside sometimes, and I think eventually, you know, they'd want him to play inside. They have Guion at nose tackle as well. But I mean,
right.
I think he'll be able to play a 3-4 end as well, too, it seems like, you know. So, no, definitely that's a nice pick, you know. It's hard to get exciting picks all the time at the end of the first round, and I think that's a solid pick that felt fit a need, but it's also, he's got some pretty intriguing upside to him, too.
Another need that the Packers fans were perhaps hoping to address. It's interesting because the Packers, you guys are returning all five of your offensive line starters from last year, but then with the second round pick, you actually leapfrogged the Bears one spot ahead of us to take Jason Spriggs, that offensive tackle from Indiana. And then you also added Kyle Murphy, another offensive tackle from Stanford, in the sixth round. So is it, I know there was a lot of injuries, people coming and going, a lot of shuffling around the O-line. Obviously, protecting Aaron Rodgers is the most important thing for this Green Bay Packers team and their success. What do you see happening with the Packers offensive line this season?
Well, I think the five starters be the same as last year, but definitely there was a lot of issues there. Bakhtiari, the left tackle, had a lot of dealt with injuries, and they never had really a good replacement for him. You know, they tried Don Barclay out there. They switched Bulaga over to left tackle. They even put Josh Sitton, the guard, at left tackle for a little while. And
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and it was just, you know, and Rodgers was under a lot of pressure in the second half of the season in a lot of games, and I think that was, I think they liked that guy a lot, you know. He's I think the Bears liked him as well, probably would have taken him there.
Do you see their second-round pick, Spriggs, competing for a starting spot, or do you think it'll just be a piece for the future?
Well, I mean, I don't know if this year. I mean, I think they feel Bulaga and Bakhtiari are two pretty good tackles when they're healthy. And Josh Sitton and TJ Lang are one of the better guard combinations in the league. Now, I've read a few rumblings here and there about Bakhtiari might eventually move inside and play guard. This guy is a little bit more of a traditional tackle, but
Bakhtiari's entering the contract here too, isn't he?
Correct, yeah. He'll be up after this year, and if he has a good season, you know, left tackle will get paid a lot of money, and Ted Thompson doesn't usually pay people a lot of money. So.
Right.
So I think that even if he's not a starter this year, and then maybe Bakhtiari, they end up keeping. Bulaga's also dealt with injuries on and off, you know, almost every year of his career. So I think they definitely anticipate this guy to be a starter in the next 2 years, but I don't know. I don't know if it'll happen right away, which is, you know, a good thing. A smart move for sure. And Murphy too. Murphy is, I don't know if he's got quite the upside of Spriggs, but he's solid. You know, he was first team all Pac-10 or Pac-12, I guess, last year. And he's played right tackle and left tackle. So that's another depth move. I think they just didn't want to get caught like they did last year again.
Right. They tended to have some moments last season where they were looking around like, all right, well, who can play what on this offensive line, which is never, never what you want.
Right.
Talking with Mike Gonring, a Packers expert, a diehard fan, knows this team backwards and forwards. Mike, the Packers, you mentioned, were coming into this looking at beefing up that front seven. That was their biggest need. They did more of that after getting their defense tackle in round one. They take Kyler Fackrell, the outside linebacker from Utah State, in the third round. Then they take inside linebacker Blake Martinez from Stanford in the fourth round. We're hearing that Clay Matthews is going to shift back outside to his natural outside linebacker position. You have other guys there like Julius Peppers, Nick Perry. Where do you see these two linebacker draft picks fitting into the depth chart for the Pack?
Well, I think inside linebacker was something a lot of people were kind of hoping they would go after. Right now, the projected starters are Sam Barrington, who I know the Packers like a lot, but he missed the whole season last year with injury. And then Jake Ryan, who was a fourth-round pick last season and showed a few flashes of good play, but still has nothing consistent. They used Matthews there a lot last year, but as you said, McCarthy has said that he'd rather play Clay outside. I think he disrupts the game a little bit more as a pass rusher, and he was good as an inside linebacker, but I think they miss him coming off the edge there. Fackrell, everyone seems to think is could be a really good rusher from the outside. He's got a lot of speed, a good first step, not necessarily the most physical guy, but playing time will be hard to come by on the outside if Matthews is back out there. Like you said,
outside linebacker.
Definitely. Perry is a good player, and Jayron Elliott actually was showed to be a pretty good kind of third down pass rusher as well last year. Now, Perry and Peppers are both coming into contract years this year as well. So, again, that might be one of those moves that has sort of an eye towards the future as someone that might be more of a mainstay out there. There's just sort of something about Ted Thompson that is, you know, is so great, but also kind of frustrating. You know, he doesn't seem to go for it as much. I mean, he's very good at building a team and letting guys develop. And, you know, I think it's his opinion that the way to win a Super Bowl is by being a good team every year and then eventually, you know, cracking through one of those years. But, yeah, I mean, he seems to be – there's a lot of these picks sort of that, you know, project to be pretty good players in 2 or 3 years, when on the other side, you know, we were pretty close last year. So sometimes I know guys wish that they made leaps for more riskier kind of picks every once in a while.
Right. But at the same time, as you said, you can't necessarily argue with being a perennial playoff team that every year has
Correct.
Got to get
Correct.
Hot at the right time and win the whole thing.
Correct.
So, well,
so Martinez is the other... The other linebacker, quickly,
yeah,
but I
ahead.
Don't know about, I don't, yeah, just quickly, I just don't know if he's, how much they expect out of him. He seems to be a pretty sure-handed tackler and pretty experienced, good instincts and stuff, but I don't think, from nothing that I've seen or nothing that I've read, I don't know if they believe a huge amount of upside for him. So, I don't know, the Clay Matthews thing, Mike McCarthy, I think, would rather use him from the outside, but... you know, at the end of the day, if you got to have your best four linebackers out there. So we might see him on the inside, I think, still a little bit.
Still balancing a little bit of inside and outside for Clay. I mean, the guy's clearly your best player on that side of the ball, and sometimes you're in a situation where you have to put him where you're getting hit hardest. If somebody's running the ball right up your gut, you know, maybe you have to throw Clay back at the inside spot.
Right. And you know, I think there is something to be said. I think part of their philosophy, they drafted, I know another guy you're probably going to mention that I know you like, Lowry.
Oh, Dean Lowry, yeah, the defensive end from Northwestern.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they have a little bit of a commitment to, they'd rather be so big and strong up front that, you know, maybe they want to take the pressure off the inside linebackers that way, you know. It seems that they addressed that before they addressed inside linebackers, but yeah, it's a little bit of a tricky situation. It definitely seemed to be one of our biggest glaring holes, and they didn't address it till the fourth round. So we'll
I think
see.
It was a great value, though. I watched a lot of Dean Lowry because I'm a big Northwestern football fan, and
sure.
Obviously because of that, I hated to see him go to Green Bay. But I saw that pick, and I thought, man, Packers just got really good value. Because I thought that Lowry had a really strong, versatile game. He got a little bit of knock when people were, you know, giving him grades because of his shorter arms, and he's not the fastest guy. But still, overall, I was really impressed with what I saw from him on a consistent basis. Like, some players have off games. That was the thing I noticed most about Dean Lowry, is that he was always in the play for the Wildcats last year. So I think that... You know, as you said, it's a fourth-round pick, and the Packers' defense are all kinds of playmakers everywhere. Who knows if it's something that'll turn into a real player you know, not necessarily this season, but next season. But I think you Packers fans will be happy with Lowry.
Yeah, and with the 3-4, you know, they rotate those guys in and out on the line so much, so you can never have enough capable big bodies up there that can move around. And he seems like a good kind of player that he's, you know, he can play on the end and maybe get after the passer a little, but can also sort of hold the edge on running and get up the middle if he wants to. So I think he's going to actually contribute on a significant amount of downs this year.
Right on. Well, and any thoughts on your final pick, Trevor Davis, the wide receiver from Cal? Obviously, things were rough last year with the loss of Jordy. Some of the younger guys stepped up, like Aberderis and Jeff Janis. Do you see him leapfrogging any of the guys that are a bit lower down on the Packers wide receiver depth chart?
Well, he's extremely fast. I think he might project a little more as a returner. I think he'll play as a returner. It's interesting. They picked a similar guy with Ty Montgomery last year from Stanford. He's also a returner and receiver as well. Yeah, they're going to be deep at receiver this year. It's going to be hard playing time to get. I mean, Nelson is back. Randall Cobb is surely to be in the rotation. Montgomery's coming off injury, and Devontae Adams had a pretty bad year, especially considering the expectations people had for
him. The expectations were huge. Fantasy football, you know, people were projecting him as a top 10 receiver.
Yeah, and he had a down year, and you never know how a guy is going to take to that. Sometimes that breakout year just happens a year later than we expected, or sometimes it just never comes at all. So it'll be a big test for him. And then of course, Janis and Aberderis both showed a lot in that Cardinals playoff game. There was the only two healthy guys left by the end.
It was Aberderis, right? Who had the 4th and 28, or was that Janis?
No, they were
the
both,
one that Rodgers threw from his own end zone.
Yeah, that one was Janis, and then the Hail Mary was Janis as well. But Aberderis was all over the place, you know, for the majority of the game.
Right. Well, I'm never feeling sorry for Packers fans if they are like, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have enough targets to throw to. As we've come to find out many times, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Aaron Rodgers will be Aaron Rodgers regardless of who's on the receiving end.
Yeah, and they added a tight end, too. They added Jared Cook this year. So I think the weapons are there. I know a lot of people would have seen, as you know, they took a good long look at Matt Forte in the offseason.
Right.
And people would have – I think a lot of fans would have liked to see them maybe make a run at a – more of a pass-catching receiver or a third down – or a pass-catching running back, sorry, or a third down type of running back. They brought back Starks instead, and they didn't draft a running back either. So I know that's maybe one part of the offense. But other than that, you're right. There's playmakers pretty much everywhere there. So,
well, speaking of playmakers, we can shift now to talk a little about the other two NFC North teams, and we can pretend to care about them because at the end of the day, it's all Bears-Packers, but we can pretend to care about the Lions and Vikings. Our buddy Drew would not be pleased if we were referencing the Lions in such a way. So the Lions, they take their first three picks. Taylor Decker, offensive tackle, Ohio State, first round. A'shaun Robinson, who is scaring the bejesus out of me, and Jay Cutler probably, the defensive tackle from Bama. And then they take a center, Graham Glasgow from Mish, in the third round, really addressing winning the battle in the trenches. At the same time, are you surprised the Lions didn't take a top-tier, high prospects wide receiver to try to start to make up for the loss of the retired Calvin Johnson?
Yeah, yeah. I mean they didn't I definitely thought that would be something. They got bad luck there with their superstars. The Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson was almost like an identical situation.
Retiring in prime.
Yeah, that was a surprising one for sure. I was shocked about that. So yeah, I thought they might address that. But they obviously had a lot of issues last year, a lot of things that they could address. I was looking, they were last in the league in rushing offense last year. And also Stafford was sacked, I think, like the third or fourth most times over the last 2 years. He's been sacked like 89 times. So I think they definitely offensive line. I mean, they took Decker in the first round, Glasgow in the third round, and then they took another Joe Dahl, a guard from Washington State, in the fifth round. So I think that was something they definitely wanted to do. And then Robinson, I think, will play. Their tackles are Haloti Ngata, who's a great player, but on the near the end of his career.
Yeah, he's definitely in the twilight or getting there.
Even though he probably looks younger than A'shaun Robinson, but he's a...
Well, that's not hard. A'shaun Robinson looks like a grown-ass man.
Yeah. And their other tackle, Tyrone Walker, is in a contract year as well. So I think Robinson is, I think they're expecting to be a big-time anchor of that line. Obviously, has a lot of upside, too. And then, yeah, I think they just... I don't know. I think they might feel like they're a little farther away than one move here or there. And I think building the lines and getting strong up front is a good way to sort of restart a building process.
Yeah. And obviously the two offensive linemen in the first three rounds is big for them. You talk about Stafford running for his life last year. I thought it was also interesting that they took a quarterback, the Michigan guy, Jake Rudock, in the sixth round.
Mm-hmm.
Stafford's got two more years left on his contract. Do you see that as potentially a sign that their GM, Bob Quinn, isn't really in love with Stafford and is looking to replace him with a newer, younger offensive line? Or is it just sort of a, we'll draft him as a late-round guy, maybe he'll be worthy as a backup?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Rudock looks like he's an eventual starter to me. I mean, I don't know if he shows that much kind of potential, but Stafford does only have two more years, and it's a big year to see what he's really made of. You know, he obviously had one of the greatest receivers of all time, basically, to throw to for his whole career.
When you take away the safety blanket of Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's some, like you said before, I mean, Aaron Rodgers lost Jordy Nelson for the whole year. Cam Newton lost Kelvin Benjamin for the whole year. Some quarterbacks, you know, are going to get the job done no matter what. They're going to find a way to move the ball down the field. But, you know, then there's other ones. Dante Culpepper was never nearly what he was when he didn't get, you know, when he went to Miami and didn't have Randy Moss anymore. So it's a big year, and I think they're thinking about that a little. And their backup is, you know, Dan Orlovsky, who's also, I believe, 32 or 33 years old. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's just a backup move. I don't know if they're thinking that he's the guy of the future or anything, but
yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah,
I mean, I went back and watched the tape after I saw that they drafted him because he wasn't really even in conversations. I mean, you know, people were wondering when Connor Cook was going to get taken off the board, and he fell later than some thought. And you know, that was the Michigan State QB who was going to maybe be that guy from the Big Ten to potentially make a difference for a team or perhaps Cardale Jones. But when, you know, when I heard about them taking Rudock, I was like, really? Like, why?
I wasn't even really aware that he was on the radar for, I doubt he was for every team anyway.
Right. Could just be a Michigan thing. Well, let's shift to the Vikings then, who did go with a wide receiver in the first round, unlike the Lions, taking Laquon Treadwell from Mississippi. What do you like about Treadwell? Do you see him as a one or two weapon for Teddy Bridgewater?
Yeah, no, I like Treadwell. When I watched him play, I thought he was a playmaker. He seemed like he was around the ball. He goes out and gets it with his hands. He's big and physical, so he's going to be a red zone target. I don't think they had anybody like him. They got a good pick last year in Diggs, who ended up having a pretty nice year, but he's a different kind of receiver. And so, I mean, I think it's a nice pick for them. And, you know, unlike what we were saying about the Lions, I think they're making a commitment to their quarterback. You know, they believe Bridgewater's the guy for them. And but, yeah, definitely addressing their offense is something. They came off a playoff game that they lost 10-9, I believe.
10-9, yeah.
To the Seahawks. So, I mean, anytime your season ends that way, especially when you already are, you know, have what maybe the best running back in the whole league, you know, I think definitely they had to put some attention to shaping up this passing game with a guy, you know, who has upside, but also who can come in and, you know, be a starter right away, which I think he will. I think he'll be, you know, one of the two guys out there right from the get-go.
And, you know, they also added another wide receiver, and this was, like, perhaps one of the more interesting stories of the later rounds of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
This guy from Germany, Moritz Boehringer, 6'4", 227. Really interesting because they were talking about him being on the board, being available. I can't remember if it was ESPN or NFL Network's coverage, but somebody was saying the Vikings should take this guy, take a flyer on this guy. He looks like he could be the real deal in the NFL. What are your thoughts on the German wide receiver?
Well, I mean, yeah, he's 6'4", and he ran a 3.8, so he's obviously has some crazy athleticism. And when you get to draft, you know, 7, 8, 9 guys every year, you know, it's almost worth it every once in a while to just, you know, take a ringer on someone like this who might not turn out, but if they did turn out, would be, you know, fantastic. I have to imagine it's going to be a crazy leap for him, just in terms of the competition that he's going to be facing.
Oh yeah,
the level of
definitely
physicality.
Welcome to the NFL moments.
Yeah, I mean, you never quite know, because basketball players, you know, sometimes have a lot of success going from basketball to the NFL as well. And you never quite know for every player. I know last year the Niners brought over that rugby star, Haynes.
Yeah, yeah, who actually made some noise for the Niners in the back half of the season.
Yeah, he did okay. He did okay, you know. And so you never quite know. I don't know. I mean, this guy could – he's blazing speed and he's a big guy. I mean, at the very least, he could turn into a great coverage or kick coverage player. And, you know, and maybe he's as good as he says. And I think he has actually pretty decent ball skills as far as catching the ball and stuff. Then maybe he turns into an actual receiving move for them.
And you know what? If he's not on the field a whole lot as a rookie, maybe they just turn him into the new mascot. You know, maybe they can get him to like grow out the Viking facial hair and throw him on that motorcycle. Cause their mascot quit last year, right? He was asking for an absurd contract and they said no.
Yeah. I think that's exactly right. Yeah.
So they got options as far as how they want to use him. Just another quick thought on the Vikings. I was really jealous that they ended up landing Mackenzie Alexander, that corner from Clemson, who I really loved. I had him valued high on my charts. It adds to a pretty stout Vikings defense from last season. They got a great core of linebackers. They added to Kendall Brothers from Zoo. I'm liking what the Vikings did on the defensive side as well, which leads me to my final question for you, Mike. Do you still see the Vikings as the biggest threat to the Packers coming into this season?
Well, I mean, they're the defending division champs. They went to Lambeau Field on week 17 last year and won the division. So you have to.
Still, everyone is like, well, the Packers are the favorites, right? The Packers are the favorites every year.
Yeah, well, I think the season ended differently. Obviously, the Packers won at Washington and had a pretty good performance against Arizona before losing, and the Vikings, you know, only scored 9 points at home and lost to Seattle. So that sort of dampened the effect. And, you know, I think there was sort of an opinion that, you know, with Jordy Nelson out and a couple injuries on the line and whatnot, that the Packers were down a little bit. But I think the Vikings are a very legitimate contender. Their defense is great. I agree with you on both those picks. I think are guys that'll, you know, I think they'll be in the rotation, and maybe even Alexander would probably be their starting nickelback, and Terrence Newman, their starting corner, is 38 years old. So, I think they have a great defense. Zimmer seems to be a pretty rock solid coach, and yeah, I mean he was there in Cincinnati and helped build, you know, sort of the defensive culture there with Marv Lewis, and he's definitely turned them into a force to be reckoned with. Again, I just think that at the end of the day, it'll come down to their quarterback, and if he continues to grow as a player, they're going to be a really tough team to deal with.
All right, Mike. Well, I'll get you out of here on this. I'm sorry I have to do it. Do you remember that time that the scrappy mega underdog Bears came into Lambeau and spoiled Brett Favre's jersey retirement night for the upset victory? Do you remember that? Man, it feels like ages ago.
Yeah, that was Thanksgiving, man. It ruined my holidays for me.
Thanksgiving on Brett Favre night. The Bears, no one had a chance. Didn't you guys pick the Bears for that game, assuming it would be an easy victory?
Yeah, I think they wanted they picked the Brett. Well, they selected the Brett
Bears
Favre retirement to be that game.
Yeah, because they knew they'd get a W on Brett Favre's retirement night.
Man, we had a couple games then like that last year. We had four chances, right, from the 10-yard line.
Yep, yeah. First goal from the 10, and really a couple of drops. Like Tracy Porter, our veteran corner who had a decent year, took credit for a breakup in one of those downs. But, I was he covering James Jones? I think it was James Jones who had a drop
on
third down. Yeah. I'm sorry. I couldn't let you out of here without bringing that up because we Bears fans take what we can get these days.
A good motivation. The Packers lost to the Lions at home last year.
I know. It's ridiculous. When I went back and looked at the schedule, I was like, wait, they had three division losses at home? That's impossible.
Yeah, and then they won them all. They won them all on the road, too.
It was
a weird year for the Pack.
Weird year. I'm sure we'll have another weird year ahead in the NFC North. He is Mike Gonring, Packers expert, actor, doing a gig out in Colorado right now. Where are you in Colorado, Mike?
I'm in the Springs, Colorado Springs.
Colorado Springs. What's the show doing? Give yourself a little plug.
Oh, yeah. It's called Girl of the Golden West. It's an old 1905 Western, a little danger, a little romance. It's a theater called Theater Works in Colorado Springs.
Excellent. Well, if you happen to be in Colorado Springs, check out his show, a little action, a little romance. If you're a sports fan on the Twitter machine, you can follow him at your own risk, Bears fans, at Mike to the G, Mike TOTHEG on Twitter. Mike, thanks so much for sharing some of your time with us tonight, buddy.
Yeah, dude, thanks for having me.
All right, take it easy. And with that, we have come to the 8 o'clock hour and past it. We got to get out of here, out of time. I've got some more thoughts on the NFL draft and what the Bears did. I can save that for next time. This has been Chi-Town Chatter on Blog Talk Radio. Matt Peck saying thank you so much to Mike Gonring for being on the show tonight. Great to get some Packers insight from him. I'll be back on Wednesday with more Chi-Town Chatter, some more Bears draft thoughts. We also got to check in with the Cubbies. Got to talk about the Cubbies, who are in Pittsburgh right now, trying to take down the Pirates. Cubs lead 6-2 in the bottom of the fifth. You can follow me on Twitter, MMP_DAAA. For all of my podcasts and content, check out my website, www.chitownchatter.com. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day. Go Cubs, go.
T-Mobile's unlimited plan costs $95 per month for a smaller network, plus monthly taxes and fees. It's enough to wreck your day. Cricket's unlimited plan gives you a bigger network for $25 less per month with monthly taxes and fees included. Cricket Wireless, something to smile about.
Download speeds max of 8 megabits per second LTE and 4 megabits per second 4G. Price comparison based on one smartphone line with unlimited plan. Mobile hotspot not available. Activation, other fees and restrictions apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Terms, features, and restrictions subject to change. See store for details.